ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं
नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
ततो जयमुदीरये
ततो जयमुदीरये
नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु
नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु
नित्यं भागवत सेवया
नित्यं भागवत सेवया
भगवती उत्तम श्लोके
भगवती उत्तम श्लोके
भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी
भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी
कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय
कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय
देवकी नन्दनाय च
देवकी नन्दनाय च
नन्दगोपकुमाराय
नन्दगोपकुमाराय
गोविन्दाय नमो नमः
गोविन्दाय नमो नमः।
We are reading from Canto 4, Chapter 14, titled The Story of King Vena, Text 20. तस्मिं स्तुष्टे किम् अप्राप्यम् जगताम् ईश्वरेश्वरे लोकः सपाल हे एतस्मै हरन्ति बलिम् आदृतः तस्मिं स्तुष्टे किमप्राप्यम् जगतामीश्वरेश्वरे लोकः सपाल हे एतस्मै हरन्ति बलिम् आदृतः तस्मिं स्तुष्टे किम् अप्राप्यम् जगतामीश्वरेश्वरे लोकः सपाल हे इतस्मै हरन्ति बलिम् आदृतः
तस्मिन्
स्तुष्टे किम् अप्राप्यम् जगताम् ईश्वरेश्वरे लोकसपाल हे एतस्मै हरन्ति बलिम् आदृतः
तस्मिन्
सृष्टे किम् अप्राप्यम्
जगतम्
ईश्वरेश्वरे
लोकासपालयस्मै
हरन्ति बलिमादृतः
तस्मिन्
स्तुष्टे किमप्राप्यम् जगतामीश्वरेश्वरे लोकासपालहैतस्मै हरन्ति बलिमादृताः
वट् टु वर्ड् तस्मिन् वेन् हि तुष्टे इस् सटिस्फैड् किम् वाट् अप्राप्यम् इम्पासिबल् टु अचीव् जगताम् आफ् द यूनिवर्स् ईश्वर ईश्वरे कण्ट्रोलर् आफ् द कण्ट्रोलर् लोकाः द इन्हेबिटेण्ट्स् आफ् द प्लानेट्स् सपालः वित् देयर् प्रिसीडिङ्ग् डेटीस् हि
For this reason,
itasmai,
itasmai,
unto him,
haranti,
offer,
balim,
paraphernalia for worship,
adritaha,
with great pleasure. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by the great demigods, controllers of universal affairs. When He is satisfied, nothing is impossible to achieve. For this reason, all the demigods, preceding deities of different planets, as well as the inhabitants of their planets, take great pleasure in offering all kinds of paraphernalia for His worship. Purport. All Vedic civilization is summarized in this verse. All living entities, either on this planet or on other planets, have to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by their respective duties. When He is satisfied, all necessities of life are automatically supplied. In the Vedas, it is also stated, Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kaman, Katha Upanishad 2:13. From the Vedas, we understand that He is supplying everyone's necessities. And we can actually see that the lower animals, the birds, the bees, have no business or profession, yet they are not dying for want of food. They are all living in nature's way, and they all have the necessities of life provided, namely eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Human society, however, has artificially created a type of civilization which makes one forgetful of his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Modern society even enables one to forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead's grace and mercy. Consequently, modern civilized man is always unhappy and in need of things. People do not know that the ultimate goal of life is to approach Lord Vishnu and satisfy Him. They have taken this materialistic way of life as everything and have become captivated by materialistic activities. Indeed, their leaders are always encouraging them to follow this path, and the great populace, being ignorant of the laws of God, are following their blind leaders down the path of unhappiness. In order to rectify this world situation, all people should be trained in Krishna consciousness and act in accordance with the Varnashrama system. The state should also see that the people are engaged in satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the primary duty of the state. The Krishna consciousness movement was started to convince the general populace to adopt the best process by which to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus solve all the problems. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuro Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vishya Kripa Sindhu Vyayvacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langhayate girim yat kripatam mande shri gurum dinatarinam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanya ishwaram. Hare Krishna. So I was not expecting to give class. OTP put me on Vyasas and saying you have to give class. Let's try to understand first the position of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then this verse will make a lot of sense for us today. the first verse of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam talks about the actual position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Janmadyasya tonvayaditaratas chate svabhignasvarat tene brahmaridayadikavaye muyanti yatsuraya tejo vari mridam yathavinimayo yatra trisargo mrisha dhamna svena sada nirastakuvakam satyam param dhimahi. So this verse is very, very nice, very instructive. At the same time gives us a very nice perspective, a very nice understanding of Supreme Personality of Godhead. It says, Janma and Adi, creation, maintenance and annihilation is done by the Lord. Janma dyasya, yaton vayat itaratas charte svabhigna. Yes? So directly or indirectly, Supreme Personality of Godhead understands or knows everything that is happening in this world, directly or indirectly. Yes. Then comes Swarat. He is independent. He is not dependent on anyone. Then what is the next line? Chartesva Vigna Swarat. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye. So he is the person who gave the knowledge to Brahma. Brahma's situation was very, very difficult situation. You can imagine the lotus flower sprouts and then Brahma appears on that. Entire world is dark. Entire universe is dark. Entire Brahmanda is dark. And then Brahma is opening his eyes, he is not seeing anything, nothing is there around. And then Brahma tries going down the stem, not able to reach down, he is not understanding what is there at the bottom. It's such a confused state, right? It is almost like a devotee who has come into Krishna consciousness and then he understands, oh, it's very difficult. Now he's standing at the door, should I come inside or should I go out? Yes, but Brahma understood what he can do. Brahma went up to the lotus flower again, sat back on the lotus flower and he started meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes. And he is the one who inspires everyone. Supreme Personality of Godhead is the one who inspires everyone. Yes. And Brahma sat on the lotus flower. Then he got the knowledge how to create. Lord inspired him. And then the next line in this verse says, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Muyanti Yat Suraya Tejo Vari Mridam Yatha Vinimayo Yatrastir Sargo Mrisha. So Lord is Lord of everyone. He is not just Lord of mortal beings of this world. He is Lord of all the demigods. He is Lord of everything that exists. Now when he is Lord of everything, he can put anyone and everyone in illusion. Not only we mortal beings get into illusion. Yes. Only thing is we get into illusion very often. Yes. But when it comes to the devatas, so even they are put into illusion. You see Brahma or you see Indra in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, you see all of them, how they were put into illusion. And you see in our case also, we are very nicely put into illusion. Now see, time is flying, all of us know. Today we celebrated the first anniversary of MVJ base. Just 1 year now we have set up MVJ. So it was like huge. But today morning when I was thinking, or today it's 1 year has passed, I was thinking, that I was going back and thinking, we just started the sessions there. Yes. And now we have those four devotees chanting 16 rounds every day. It's like, So time is flying. And we see that everywhere around, you know, we see some people are dying, some people are deceased, some people are struggling. Yes. That person died, this person died, this person died. But we are in such an illusion even now that I am not going to die. I'll remain forever. Yes. At least for the next 100 years I'll remain maybe. Why should I worry so much? Can you imagine how much illusion we are in? I always say this whenever this topic of death comes. Parishit Maharaj had 7 days. And then Maharaj Khatwanga, he had some moments. So they all knew when they are going to die. But we human beings of this earthly planet, we don't know, when that day is going to come. But still we are nicely in illusion. All glories to Subhadramai sitting there. All glories to Lord's energy. She has put all of us in illusion so nicely that we think, okay, we'll see now what to do. So yesterday I was just meditating on this point that it has been 1 year in Brahmachari Ashram. And I was thinking that even after coming to Brahmachari Ashram, do I really have that intensity of practicing bhakti? Or am I really slackening? Is it that every day I'm giving my best to please Krishna or not? Is it that every moment I'm thinking that this might be the last moment or not? But then when I was meditating like this, I didn't get any answer. The only thing that I could understand is we are in deep dark illusion and nothing else. Yes? And Supreme Personality of Godhead puts everyone in illusion. Only those who take his shelter can actually get rid of illusion. That is for sure. And then finally the last line says, Dhamna Svena Sadanirasta Kuhakam Satyam Param Dhimahi. What is Satya? Only he is Satya. Yes? And everyone else is just his energy and nothing else. Right? And then here there's a nice talk about that the demigods, the preceding deities of different planets also worship Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Gajendra in his prayers, he's saying, Kalena Panchatva Miteshu Krishnaso Lokeshu Paleshu Chasarva Hetushu Tamastadasid Gahanam Gabhiram Yastasya Pare Virajate Vihu. In this shloka, Gajendra is saying that Kalena Panchatva Miteshu Krishnaso. When the time comes, what happens when the time comes? At that time, Panchatvam, every single personality, I mean the bodies, gets absorbed in Panchatattva, not this Panchatattva. Yes, you will be fortunate if that happens. This happened in one of the temple. So one school teacher got all the kids to our ISKCON temple, and then the deities were there, and it was written Panchatattva. Yes. Then the teacher was explaining. So this earth, water, fire, air. So not this Panchatattva. Panchatattva is like earth, water, fire, ether. Everyone has to, all the bodies will merge, will get absorbed in this. And who all will get merged? Who all will get into this Panchatattva? Yes, or Pancha Mahabhut? Here Gajendra is saying, Lokesha Paleshu. Even the ones who are the rulers, who are called as Lokpal, the one who are taking care of the different lokas, different planets, even those people are going to get merged into this Pancha Mahabhut. There's earth, water, fire, air, ether. Yes? So obviously, when they are also temporary, it means they are also dependent. So demigods are very, very loyal. They're very much dependent on the Lord. Their only goal is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Alright? And yeah, obviously, sometimes they have a mixed mood also of worship, where they have some materialism and devotional service as well. But we see most of the time, these demigods, now they surrender to Supreme Personality of God. You take, for example, the Samudra Manthan Leela. Now, this entire pastime when I read, I was feeling that Lord is literally tricking all of them. Now, all the demigods, they went to the Lord and they said that, we are in trouble, please help. Then the Lord said that, you go and start churning this ocean. Many things will come out. Don't take anything of whatever is coming out. Yes, just wait till the end. And then they went, and then finally they are wondering how to churn. Finally they got the Mandara mountain. Now that mountain is sinking, then the Lord comes, he becomes a tortoise, then he lives. Yes. Now when Vasuki snake, which was given for churning. So at that time, all the demigods, they were getting tired, churning. Then Lord himself comes at one end of the demigods and he is churning on their behalf. Yes. And then there is imbalance which is happening. Again, Lord comes in another avatar and he sits there up. And then Dhanvantari, she comes out with different things. And then Mohini avatar is here. So many avatars are here. I was just thinking, if Lord would have just gone into the ocean, got the nectar and gave it to them, entire pastime is done. Why so much of natak here and there? But there's a very nice thing which Lord is actually proving here. He is firstly glorifying his devotees, and then he's also telling or also giving the message that we have to be dependent on him. Yes. So you see how nicely he's doing. Everywhere it was very nicely seen that demigods will approach Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please save. And then Lord will come back in some different incarnation. Yes. Even in our life, if you see, like these demigods have different opportunities to get closer to the Lord. Similarly, every single opportunity in our life, every single situation in our life is meant to get closer to the Lord. It might be anything for that matter. Anything. We might be troubled in some situation. We might be happy in some situation. Some devotees chastising us. Yes. Or someone at home is chastising us, someone is glorifying us. we have got something, we have lost something. Every single opportunity is, or every single situation is an opportunity to remember the Supreme Personality of God. Either we can thank the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or chastise the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or remember him for whatever he is giving or whatever he is taking away. Right? So every single opportunity, every single situation is an opportunity to remember him. And this is what this pastime also proves. Once we understand this, you know, life becomes very, very easy, very, very simple. It feels very nice. Whenever we are in some critical situation, yes, at that time, if we just think that this is an opportunity to remember Supreme Personality of Godhead, it feels so nice. Yes, and actually the remembrance becomes more and more intense. Normally, devotees will come, especially the youth boys, now suffering from the attack of lust. Yes, and they'll come and say, "This Prabhu, it's become very difficult, not able to, get through, these desires. What to do?" And sometimes Grihastha devotees, will come and they'll share their problem. "Now, Prabhu, how much can I tolerate, Prabhu? Yes, so much to tolerate at home. So much. Now, today she did something, and sometime later someone else from her side will come and do something, and obviously kids are there, a cherry on the cake. What to do?" So one aspect, which we have seen is that even in these situations, when it's really very critical, if we just meditate on the Lord and take his shelter, it becomes very nice. It becomes very, very peaceful. The situation becomes very peaceful, right? And here, that's what we see, that when Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied, yes, what is impossible for him? Yes, what is impossible for him? He can do anything and everything. Everything is under his control. See, when we just understand this aspect, that everything is under the control of Supreme Personality of Godhead, it gives a lot of peace. Why? Because most of the things are not under our control. Yes? So when things are not under our control, and we become very, very unstable at that particular moment, but if that moment we just remember or just recollect that everything is under his control, and if he's under his control, then this is also part of his plan. Yes, why should I really worry? Why should I really worry about this? Yes, this is what we see here, that all the demigods, they understand this very aspect, that if they worship Supreme Personality of Godhead, if they satisfy Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything will be done. Yes, and in fact, these demigods derive the power from Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's nothing of their own. You see, Lord Ganesha, he's saying that since I keep your lotus feet on my tusk, I derive all the powers from you. And so I'm called as Vigna Harta, because you are Vigna Vinasha. Yes, this comes in Brahma Samhita. Yes. So in this way, we see that even the demigods derive power from Supreme Personality of Godhead. But now there's a problem which is happening in the current age. Too much of a problem. Yesterday I was giving one session to our youth boys, the college boys of MBJ. So there we were discussing about how the Mughals attacked, how the Britishers attacked, what did they do to our Indian culture. Mughals came and they destroyed the temples. They're not able to understand what is the backbone of Indian culture. Then came Britishers. Now Britishers were pretty intelligent. They understood that Vedic culture, Vedic scriptures are the backbone of the Indian culture. And that is what is making them so stable. And they're not at all dependent on anyone. I was reading one letter by Lord Macaulay. So he was saying that I've gone through entire India and I've not found even a single thief and a beggar. And then he also concludes saying, I don't think we'll be able to make these people dependent on us and make them make ourselves as a dominated nation on them. It's very, very difficult. He writes that. But then how did all this happen? It's another 2-hour session which I'll not take now. So they directly attack the backbone, and that is the education system, right? They directly attacked that. Then they made sure that Sanskrit is somehow, undermined, yes, in terms of English. They somehow overpowered English. Too much. Even now, if you see, how do we learn Sanskrit? We need English to learn Sanskrit. Yes, that's what they did. To such an extent that they started saying that this Indian culture is a degraded culture. You should learn new culture. Yes? And this culture will help you. And only when you learn this new culture, then only it's possible for you to progress in life. Already Indians were at a very high state of realization, because they had a lot of spiritual practices which were there. But They proved that no, your culture is not that good. You should accept our culture. And they gave a lot of money. They gave, you know, they did a lot of politics. And somehow they got all the Indians under their control. And they destroyed the Indian culture. But still, people were still practicing, you know, different spiritual practices at home. You know, even when all these things are happening. So what Mughals couldn't do, what Britishers couldn't do, current modernization is doing. Yes? Just in few decades, this entire modern society, the media and other social media and the big screen, small screen, all of them have somehow destroyed the faith of Indians on their own culture. Yes? Now you go and talk to anyone about Krishna consciousness, or when you distribute books and all, you know, you see, people say, oh, it's out of fashion. It's out of fashion. So now what is there in current fashion is divorce, depression, teenage pregnancy. This is all fashion. Yes, current fashion. Yesterday also I was sharing that now, you know, wearing tight pants and jeans, etc. is fashion. But then, you know, where did these jeans come from? When Britishers were ruling us, you know, they gave the Indians jeans so that they can work as laborers in their industries. And these jeans are very rough, so that will not get torn very easily. Yes? So that's how these jeans came into picture. Now people wear torn jeans as fashion. Yes. On a lighter note, all these things are okay. But on a serious note, the point is that on a serious note, there's a great degradation that has happened. You go and talk about satisfying Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, worshipping Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now people will ask that, what is there in this for me? What will I get if I satisfy him? What will I get? In fact, I'm losing everything. I'm giving money, I'm giving my time, I'm giving my energy. What am I getting in return? All these questions were not at all existing in our Vedic culture. Yes? They knew very well, just by satisfying Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can actually, you know, get anything and everything. Right? One more point which I was making in another session was, we have become very, very superficial in our dealings and in our existence. Everyone is living a very, very superficial life. We are more interested to please others.
Yes.
We want to please everyone around. I keep telling this in my Gita course. People relish a lot because everyone does this. Yes. Check in. I'll post on the Facebook. Check out. No, I checked out here. I'm going to restaurant and then you know, you click the photo. Oh, it's very delicious. I'm relishing. If it's really delicious, eat. No, why are you posting on Facebook? Yes. And then you go to some place. And then you, right, you know, say that, you know, feeling very devotional. You go to some temple and feeling very devotional. And everything people want to show off. Everything. Now whatever clothes they buy, new clothes, new bike, new car, new wife. Post it on Facebook. Everything they want to post on Facebook. Why are we really doing this? That is the question. Right? Because we are very, very interested to please people around. But my question is always, when I talk about this, is, can we please all the people around us? We cannot please all the people. Even if we please them, we cannot please them to their fullest extent. Right? There was one Grihastha couple who called me for counseling. So I was talking to them. There was a huge fight which was happening at home due to some reasons. Some things were there. Then when I was talking to I talked with the husband separately and wife separately. Then I was trying to understand what was the problem. Yes. So now the problem was that there were some expectations on both the sides. Those were not meeting. Yes. Well-to-do, everything is good only. But some expectations, you know, they were not able to meet from both the sides. And both of them are unsatisfied. So when I was hearing from them, I was actually feeling that if a husband cannot satisfy wife, wife cannot satisfy husband, which is the most close relation existing on this earthly planet, then what will satisfy other people on this earth? Yes. Even kids, when you go and ask them about, you know, are you happy? Something will be there. They'll say that one boy asked him, are you happy? No, your parents are serving you so nicely. No, Prabhu, they're not giving you PS5. No one can be satisfied in this world. No one. Yes, no one. But look at Krishna. He says, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakta prayachati. Tadam bhaktya uparitam asnami prayatatmanahan. No, just give me leaf, fruit, flower, water, I'll be satisfied. This is what he says. You give this leaf, fruit, flower who comes to your house. Yes. Next time, never they will come to our house. But the thing is, now we are covered. No, we are like masked like anything, unfortunately. This modern culture has put us in deep, dark ignorance, saying that if we really want to be happy, we have to, you know, become more and more advanced in material life. But we cannot be happy by that. We can become more and more superficial and try to show off to others, pleasing them. They will be pleased momentarily. Later, they are the ones who will backbitch, right? They are the ones who will talk behind us. We cannot please anyone on this earthly planet, right? Important aspect that our Vedic culture teaches is Krishna should be the center. Yes. Only when Krishna is pleased, we can be happy, right? Otherwise, it's impossible. Now you see, it is said that if we want to get some nourishment, we have to read Bhagavatam. Now, what is Bhagavatam? Bhagavatam is all about different pastimes of Supreme Personality of God. Haven't you felt that when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we feel satisfied? Yes. Simple, it's very, very simple. When you read some pastime of Lord Krishna in 10th canto, when you read his childhood pastimes, when you read his butter stealing pastimes, or you read the pastime of Ambarish Maharaj, you read the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj, Dhru Maharaj, that gives so much of satisfaction. You see, Parishud Maharaj, he is about to die. And then he's saying, I'm the most fortunate person on earth. Yes? Because I'm getting this opportunity to hear about Lord Krishna from your lotus lips, O Sukadeva Goswami. So you see, there's so much of satisfaction that is, you know, that is there in this. Because that's what Krishna wants all of us to do. 10th chapter, 9th shloka, Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Marchitta madgata prana bodhayante parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. He's telling how you people will be satisfied. You people will be satisfied only when you discuss about me. Kathayantascha mam. Yes, when you discuss about me with each other. Bodhayante parasparam. What will happen? Tushyanti cha. Satisfied. Ramanti cha. Very happy. This is the only way. But in this, what is happening is, now when we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, when we are chanting, Lord is getting satisfied. Yes. Because he is becoming satisfied, so we are getting that relishment. So we are also becoming satisfied. Right? All this is very, very difficult. Not possible at all. And now, let's take another, one more thing about this material world and Supreme Personality of God. Let's contrast. Compare and contrast. So, even when you serve a person, one person if you serve, to your fullest, become a slave, yes, and serve to the fullest. Now we see parents do that, for their kids. Finally, when the kids grow up, when they become, really matured and things like that, there will be one question which will be asked, what have you done for me? Yes, many elders when they come and tell this, it feels very odd. They actually say this, my kid has asked me this question, what have you done for me? Prabhu, I couldn't answer anything. I was dumb. I was like literally dumb at that point, and I did not want to give a list of whatever I've done. Yes, right from cleaning the potty and urine till whatever I've given that person. Because we cannot satisfy any person till the fullest, right? But here you see, when anyone who strives to serve Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's so happy and he's so satisfied that he's ready to do anything. One of my favorite shloka from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto. Durvasa Muni is approaching Vishnu for protection. And Vishnu is saying that, I cannot protect you. And he's giving different verses. Yes. There he says, I don't know if I'll be able to chant the entire shloka. Let me remember. Sadhavordayam. Sadhavordayam mayam. Sadhunam rudayam tvaham. Mad anyatya na jananti. Naham tepyo managapi. This is a very, very touching shloka where Lord is going to any extent. He is saying that sadhuo rudayam mayam. Yes. I am there in the hearts of sadhus. Because those sadhus, they don't want anything else. They just want me. And they always keep me in their heart. And then he says, now since sadhus are keeping him in his heart, so what Lord is saying is that I keep them in my heart. And the next line he says, Mad anyatate na jananti. They don't know anything apart from me. Their only goal is to satisfy me. Their only goal is to serve me. And then he says, Naham tebhyo managapi. Yes. So how can I not have these personalities in my heart? And I don't know anyone apart from my devotees, he says. Yes. Basically, Durvasa Muni is told by the Lord that Amrish Maharaj is in my heart and I am there in Amrish Maharaj's heart, I cannot help you in any ways. You go and check with Amrish Maharaj because I am there in his heart. Yes. So Lord is going to any extent to do anything for his devotee. Yes. And also this very nice shloka which I was quoting in the last Srimad Bhagavatam class. Ye dharagara putrapta pranan vittamam imam param hatva mam swajanam sharanam yataha katham tam stektim utsahe. Now there is a question. Katham tam stektim utsahe. And the answer Durvasa Muni knows already. Lord is saying that my devotees give up dhara, wife, agara, house, putra, their sons, apta, relatives, prana, life, and then vitta, that is bhaya prana, money. Yes, they give up all these things for me. Oh, Durvasa Muni, you tell me, how can I give up these people who are giving up so much for me? How is it possible? Yes. So Lord is very clear. Now anyone who serves him, no one can, today morning only I was quoting this. Anyone who serves him with any motive, yes, he cannot give that person up. Yes. You take this example of Putana. I was quoting Putana today morning in that college session. So now Putana came with a desire of killing Krishna. She applied poison on the breast and she came there. She took up Krishna. It was not Krishna flew and he came on the land. She took up Krishna. Yes. And she started feeding Krishna. Now here what happens? Krishna drank the milk. He sucked the poison. With that he also sucked the life air. Now Putana started feeling a lot of pain. Intense pain. So at that time Putana is saying, no, leave me. Yes. And Krishna is not leaving. Yes. Krishna is not leaving. So that's what happens in our life also. Once we come to Krishna consciousness, we are serving. Even if we want to leave Krishna, Krishna will not leave. That is what his commitment is. We see from this pastime. Yes? He's not leaving Putana. He's not leaving. Finally, he made sure Putana attains the highest position in spiritual world. Yes? See, this is the mercy of the Lord. Anyone who satisfies Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, obviously, Putana didn't come with the intention of satisfying him. But since Putana offered some service, Krishna became satisfied. You know, drinking that milk. Now just imagine this, in this pastime, you know, we discuss this pastime for 2-3 hours easily. The conclusion of this pastime, we say this, that whenever the saints, sadhus, they chant this pastime, they are always in tears. They are saying that, oh Krishna, oh Lord, this lady come to kill you and you have given the topmost position to her. Now you tell us, no, with tears in their eyes, they are asking this question. Now you tell us, what will you give to those devotees who are ready to give anything and everything for you and serve you with love and devotion? What do you have? What can you give them? And then finally, they also conclude saying, you don't have anything. You have to surrender unto them. And Krishna surrenders. Krishna surrenders. Yes. So normally this we tell to the brahmacharis, when you give up everything and when you join ashram. Yes, we are not losing anything. Yes, he is there with us always. In fact, we gain a lot because literally when you give up everything and surrender to Krishna, you're actually binding Krishna in the heart. You're binding Krishna in the heart and Krishna is not allowed to move out from the heart. Yes. This is the position of every devotee who strives to satisfy Supreme Personality of Godhead. And once Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied, anything and everything, be it spiritual or material, that will surely be given. That will be given as a benediction by Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So in this way, here, the Brahmanas are trying to explain King Vena that try to satisfy Supreme Personality of Godhead, you will get everything. Don't go crazy. But in future verses, we will see, King Vena will be saying that, that's all is okay. As of now, I am providing you whatever you want. You should worship me. This is what is materialistic, current modern situation. Yes? So this we will be seeing in future verses. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes.
Yeah, little confusion. Like we heard from the class of Krishna Prasadam that Krishna, the people do not approach Krishna because Krishna do not give material possession which will take. Also said that if even we have material desire, we should worship Krishna.
Yeah. Actually, Krishna says that my special favor is I'll take away everything. That is special favor. That special favor is given only for special devotees, not for devotees like me. It will not be given for just devotees who are just doing little here and there. Few of my relatives were also saying this to me, that don't worship Krishna too much, he'll take away everything. No, he'll not take away everything for anyone and everyone. Yes, only for people who are very, very dear to him. Yes, who are ready to give anything and everything to him. Only to them Krishna will actually give the special mercy. All else Krishna, why will Krishna give special mercy to just anyone and everyone? Any Tom, Dick and Harry. Why will he do that? Yes, it's very clear. My special mercy is given to only my special devotees. And we see in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, only those special devotees have got this mercy. Right? Pandavas. Yes, you see Pandavas. They were very, very special. So things were taken away from them. You take the case of Sudama. He was very special. You take the case of Gopis. They were very special. Now, when you see those people and you compare with ourselves, there's a huge difference. So there's no question of getting that special mercy, as of now at least. Yes? And the other aspect here is that Krishna sees the level of the other person and then reciprocates. When he understands that by taking this away, he'll become unstable, why will he take away? He'll never take away those things. Yes? This one question, there was a Brahmachari class and this question was asked. That sometimes while chanting, various thoughts come. Yes? And we really don't want that, but what to do? Those thoughts are coming. Yes? So will Krishna fulfill these desires? Those desires which have just popped up during chanting. Because we hear anything that you desire while chanting. Yes, Krishna will fulfill that. Yes. So the answer given was that Krishna is a person. You tell the Lord that don't fulfill this desire, he will not fulfill. Yes, simple. Right? So depending on the person's level, Krishna actually reciprocates. So what Maharaj was talking about is those pure devotees who relish, getting that special mercy when everything is taken away from them. And example is Kunti Maharani. Yes? She is saying that give more miseries, take away everything, whatever I have, I will be very happy. Yes? To such people, to people like personalities like Prabhupada, who are actually praying for all this. Yes? So anyone, everyone, who actually prays for this intensely, that I want your special mercy, they will get special mercy. For others, you go and ask, you go to Balaji, they make a deal. He'll give. He'll give me a wife, you give me kids, you give me money, promotion, he'll give. Yes? But then he'll wait. That when will this person get purified and ask for special mercy? He'll wait. That shloka which says that akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaradi tevrena bhakti yogena yajate purusham param. So it's not saying that you just approach the Lord and just ask for something. He's saying tevrena bhakti yogena. Yes? You go and ask him whatever you want, but do tivra bhakti. But there is a catch here. So when you do tivra bhakti, you'll become purified. You become purified, you will have this desire to ask for special mercy and then Krishna will take away. So there is a catch in every shloka, which is given. Answers the question. Anything else?
So when Brahma appeared, so how did he, as the star, how did he get the inspiration?
It was actually Lord himself who spoke. In Gayatri Mantra, we chant words. So those words were actually spoken for Brahma. And those words inspired. So those are Bija Mantras. Those words inspired Brahma. That gave them him the inspiration to do tapa.
But nothing before that. Nothing before the Lord spoke to him.
The situation was really terrible. When I imagine the situation, it's like, I don't know how he existed. How star, no support, nothing. Yes, maybe so is Brahma.
Yes. It's not like he meditated to hear those words.
No. He was told to do that. Tapa. He was told to do that. That's how he started doing this. Because without Lord's inspiration, nothing can happen. Nothing can happen. He says, what is that shloka, 15:15? No.
Remembrance.
I know that. I know the translation. I want the. Sarvasya chaam ridhisanni vishto matta smritir jnanam apovanam cha. Yes? So Lord is very clear. He is saying that I give remembrance, forgetfulness and knowledge. So without Lord, no one can get any knowledge, including Brahma. So here again, in this also we understand how great the Lord is. That without his intervention, not even Brahma, you know, even Brahma cannot get the knowledge of what next to do. So that's
great pleasure
in offering all kinds of. Yeah, I told you, no? Yedaharagar putrapa, that prana is also there. Till that point. Because everything belongs to the Lord. This body also belongs to the Lord, right? Nothing is ours. We are just tenants in this body. Right? Everything belongs to him. So, till that extent, so there's a paraphernalia which can be offered. Yes, there's a paraphernalia which can be offered. Actually, that is the mood when we offer, when we pay obeisance also. When we pay obeisance saying, I'm yours. So that is the highest paraphernalia that we can offer. Our prana. Our prana. Okay. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.